The Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Rowan Williams, is the preacher for our first Sunday worship for Lent, which comes live from the King's School in Canterbury. The service is led by the senior chaplain, the Reverend Frederick Arvidson.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to welcome you to the Shirley Hall at the King's School, Canterbury, where our crypt choir and members of the senior school are joined by pupils and staff from our prep school at Junior King's, but also primates from Rwanda, Indian Ocean, the Southern Cone in South America, and also by our friend and Episcopal visitor, the Archbishop of Canterbury. Dr. Rowan Williams is preaching for us today on the way of freedom, the theme of this year's Lent course devised by Churches Together in Britain and Ireland. We're invited to think on this journey as leading towards the true freedom of living in love towards God and others, and what this freedom means for ourselves, our churches, our local communities, and our world today. As the senior chaplain of perhaps the oldest school in England, dating back to St. Augustine's arrival in 597 AD, I am the inheritor of a rich and wonderful tradition within the beautiful surroundings of Canterbury Cathedral. Traditional values remain at the heart of our school community, but we know that we live in an ever-changing society, and we're acutely aware that we must equip our pupils well for the future in the world, whilst not losing the sight of things eternal. As a school, we use the Book of Common Prayer for all our Sunday services in the cathedral, as we feel it embodies dignified worship and faithful teaching. Its words and images deepen prayer and enrich imagination, and its beautiful language and prose sustain us as a family on our earthly pilgrimage together. Sharing with you our service of Sang Matins this morning is especially appropriate in the year in which we celebrate as a nation the 350th anniversary of the 1662 Book of Common Prayer. Rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. We sing our first hymn about the freedom from death and hell won through the cross. Take up thy cross, the Saviour said. Dearly beloved brethren, the scripture moves us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with a humble, lowly, penitent, and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain the forgiveness of the same by his infinite goodness and mercy. And although we ought at all times humbly to acknowledge our sins before God, yet ought we most chiefly so to do when we assemble and meet together to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his most holy word, and to ask those things which are requisite and necessary, as well for the body as the soul. Wherefore I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and a humble voice unto the throne of the heavenly grace, saying after me, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. May the Almighty and merciful Lord grant unto you pardon and remission of all your sins, time for the amendment of life, and the grace and comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
O Lord, open our lips.
And the mouth shall show forth thy praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now.
The choir sings the first 7 verses of Psalm 42.
Here beginneth the first verse of the fifth chapter of the Epistle to the Galatians. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Here endeth the first lesson.
Thank you.
Here beginneth the first verse of the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here endeth the second lesson.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, show thy mercy upon us,
and grant us thy salvation.
O Lord, save the Queen,
and mercifully hear us when we call upon thee.
Endue thy ministers with righteousness,
and make thy chosen people joyful.
O Lord, save thy people,
and bless thy inheritance.
Give peace in our time, O Lord. Give us grace to use such abstinence, that, our flesh being subdued to the Spirit, we may ever obey thy godly motions in righteousness and true holiness. To thy honour and glory,
who liveth and reigneth with the Father and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end.
Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, who hatest nothing that thou hast made, and dost forgive the sins of all them that are penitent, create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may obtain of thee, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord.
In 1939, the young German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer was in New York, exploring whether he should stay there as pastor to the German emigrants in the city, and considering a string of invitations to lecture in the United States. He'd made himself deeply unpopular with the German regime, making broadcasts critical of Hitler, and running a secret training institution for pastors in Germany who couldn't accept the way that the Nazi state was trying to control the church. Yet, after a draining inner struggle, he decided to sail back to Germany. In July 1939, after just over a month in New York, he left, knowing that he was returning to a situation of extreme danger. 6 years later, he was dead, executed for treason in a concentration camp, and leaving behind him one of the greatest treasures of modern Christianity, in the shape of the letters he wrote to family and close friends from prison. He had left behind the chance of freedom, as most of us would understand it, and plunged into a complex and risky world, even getting involved in the plot to assassinate Hitler, living as a double agent, daily facing the prospect of arrest, torture, and death. But freedom was one of the things he most often wrote about. In a famous poem he wrote in July 1944, he sketched out what he thought was involved in real freedom. Discipline, action, suffering, and death. Not quite what we associate with the word. But with these reflections, he takes us into the heart of what it is for someone to be lastingly free. The freedom he is interested in is the freedom to do what you know you have to do. The society you live in will give you all sorts of messages about what you should be doing, and far more difficult, your own longings and preferences will push you in various directions. You have to watch your own passions and feelings and test them carefully. And then you have to have the courage to act. When you act, you take risks. You seemingly become less free. But what is really happening is that you're handing over your freedom to God and saying, "I've done what I had to, now it's over to you." Freedom, says Bonhoeffer, is perfected in glory when it's handed over to God. And this finds its climax in the moment of death, when we step forward to discover what has been hidden all along, the eternal freedom of God, underlying everything we have thought and done. It's a tough and uncompromising picture. But at the end of Bonhoeffer's journey, as he sketches it in this poem, is a vision of the joy that can only come when you discover that at last you are in tune with reality, God's reality. Everything else, the stories you tell yourself, the pictures of yourself that you enjoy thinking about, the efforts to make yourself acceptable, all this falls short of reality. "The truth will make you free," says Jesus. And that is what sustains Bonhoeffer in his prison. It's really very like what Jesus says in the Beatitudes: "Blessed are the poor, those who are hungry for justice, those who make peace." These are the people who have got in touch with what eternally matters, with God's reality. These are the free people, because they have been liberated from all the fictions, great and small, that keep us locked into our anxieties and ambitions. These are people who are not afraid to die, because they have discovered what supremely matters and are willing to hand over everything to God. There's no forcing of others to accept that vision. It's simply about being detached enough from what makes you comfortable to be able to live out what it takes to show the kind of God that God is, to live in tune with God's freedom, which is always a freedom that makes other people free and gives them joy in the reality, the truth, that is God's life. It takes time. Bonhoeffer wrote a little guide for students when he ran his college for pastors, in which he explains why they need to give time each day to silent meditation on the Bible. God claims our time for this service, he wrote. God needed time before he came to us in Christ. He needs time to come into my heart for my salvation. Each day we try to open ourselves up to being transformed by this meditation. We want to rise from meditation different from what we were when we sat down to it. Some religious people talk about letting the surface of our mind settle so that it can truly reflect God, like a still pool. As Bonhoeffer's life and death make clear, this isn't some sort of refusal of the world. Rather, it's the only way we can ever act in the world so as to change it effectively, because we're opening the way to God's activity, through us, but not just through us. Looking quietly at all the clutter that prevents us from seeing ourselves honestly, looking quietly at the ways in which the world we live in muffles the truth and so frustrates the search for justice and love, this isn't a luxury. This is how the truth makes us free. Not free to do what we fancy at any given moment, but free to be real, to be truthful, to be in the truth, as the New Testament puts it. After all, what other sort of freedom is finally worth having? It may cost us everything we thought we needed to hang on to, but as the history of Christ's journey to the cross and the resurrection makes clear, the end of the story is a fulfillment, a homecoming, for which we can never find adequate words. It's the freedom to be what we most deeply are.
A setting by Richard Shepherd of a prayer by Thomas Campion. Let us pray.
Lord,
You have set us free. Not free to do what we please, but free to love you with our whole heart gladly. Free to love our neighbors as we do ourselves. Lord, we need to know your freedom. Free us from our selfishness. Free us from our indifference to the plight of the poor, the oppressed, especially the people of Syria. Free us to love and serve you with all our being. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, we want to live in your freedom. Free us to show compassion to all those who are cast by the wayside. Free us to share generously so that others will not hunger or lack provision. Free us to live in love and mutual care. Lord, you call to us freedom, your freedom to love you with our hearts, souls, and mind. Freedom to love our neighbours as ourselves. Lord, may we enter the freedom of your kingdom today. Lord, in your mercy.
O Lord, give me the wisdom to see the subtle ways people can be enslaved and the courage to speak for those who have no voice. I ask this for the sake of your love. Lord, in your mercy.
Gracious Lord, may we honour the freedom you have given each of us by refusing to judge those who are different from us. Lord, in your mercy.
O Lord, when we wake to yet another day of the wonder and joy in the beauty of your creation, give us the heart to keep our needs simple, our desires soft, our wills pliable, so that we never participate in the exploitation of the earth, which is the work of your hands. Lord, in your mercy.
O Lord, in this season of Lent, wash my eyes clean, so I see the ugliness that steals life and hope from others. Do not let the insistence on my own liberty be the ground upon which others are denied freedom. We ask these prayers through Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen. We sing our final hymn, a hymn about God's justice and liberty. There's a wideness in God's mercy.
Thank you.
peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Sunday worship came live this morning from the King's School, Canterbury. The preacher was Dr. Rowan Williams, Archbishop of Canterbury, and the service was led by the Reverend Frederick Arvidson. The choir was directed by Howard Ionescu, and the organist was David Newsham. The producer was Stephen Shipley.